Again, thank you for being here. Colossians 3, and beginning with verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, you know what that word means, it means put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Father, as we look in your word, I ask for your help to speak in a way that will glorify the Lord, that will exalt the Bible, that will deal with the hearts of your people. And if there's someone who is lost who hears the message, we are concerned for their soul, but most of all, we know you are. You gave your son to die for them. So help me to present the gospel in a way that has power. And Lord, not because I'm worthy, but because Christ is worthy. Bless the message, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see the appeal here for believers to focus our attention on Christ and heaven and what lies ahead for us as Christians with the Lord. It is so easy to get caught up in living this life that we live and the demands of it that our attention is focused strictly on the daily routine of what we have to do. The admonition given is not to focus on the things of the earth. The material things of earth are where most focus their attention. Their career, their home, their toys, their money, their retirement. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If we love the world, then we're not loving God. If we love God, then we won't put the world on an equal basis with God. God gave us the material things of this world to use, not to love. We're to love Him, we're to love each other, and we're to use material things to meet our needs. But we can get focused on material things. And when we get focused on material things and demands of living life and the struggle with our time ratio, it is easy to sort of put God aside and thinking on Him aside and reading His Word aside. And the next thing you know, we go a period of time that we haven't focused on the Lord and the things of heaven. We find ourselves too busy when we have no time for God. In chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4, we have died with Christ and risen with Christ. Our eternal life is hid in Him. And He will reveal this new life to us when He comes to take us home. The finishing of our salvation, the glorified body that we're going to receive, the preparation for eternity that we'll spend with Him forevermore, will transpire when He takes us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. 1 John 5:11 says that salvation's in Christ. He that hath eternal life is in Christ. If you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son, you have not eternal life. So we're to set our affections, our focus, our desires on spiritual things and on the person of Christ and God and the Bible and spiritual things. And we struggle with the competition for the demands of our time and our mental focus. It's so easy to get caught up in this life that we live that we stop thinking about the Lord and the things of heaven. First of all, today, we know Christ will be revealed and our change will occur. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52 makes it clear that Christ will change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at His coming. When He comes in heaven to take us home to be with Him, we'll go through a metamorphosis. We will change from a fleshly human to having a glorified body like His body, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord, Thessalonians says. So that should be something that our affections are set on. I'm looking forward to a new body. The older this body gets and the worse I've treated it, the more I'm looking forward to the replacement that's going to come one day soon. And we'll get a new one, and it's going to last forever. You see, what God makes doesn't rust, bust, and collect dust like everything we make. You can get a new home, you can get a new car, but boy, it won't take long until it starts changing on you. And it takes all your energy to keep it up. You got to paint a house. You got to repair the damage. You got to add more room when more kids come along. You know, there's always something that's got to be done. It takes a lot to keep it up. I remember the first new car I bought my wife. I bought her a 1973 Plymouth Barracuda. 340 Magnum with the hood scoops and the racing stripe down the side and all that sort of thing. And boy, she loved that car. And this is her car. You know, this is my car, you know. And she drove that back and forth to work every day. I drove a piece of junk or a motorcycle. And that was her car. And boy, I told her, I said, when you go to, there used to be a place called Cook's. It was like Walmart before we had Walmart. She said, when you go to Cook's, you park that thing way up there in the parking lot away from everybody. You know, don't let anybody bump the side of it, you know. Don't want any dents and dings and all that in that car, you know. I'd wash it and we'd wax it and we'd keep it up and get it looking nice. That went good for about 2 years. And after 2 years, I took it deer hunting and drove it down through the woods, one of them little pulpwood roads, you know, and I shot a deer and put it in the trunk and pulled it back out of there again. My wife said, "Where's the deer?" I said, "In the trunk." She opened the trunk and there was a deer. She said, "Oh no, you killed Bambi." Had blood all over the trunk lid. You say, well, you treated that car that way? Yeah, it wasn't new anymore. When it was new, you know, you had all these fascinations that you'd keep it that way, but it doesn't take long for it to begin to rust, bust, and collect dust. Same with our body. It's wearing out and wearing old and breaking down, but one day God's going to give us a new one. And that's where our focus should be. That's where our love should be. That's where our affection should be set on the things in heaven. The wrongdoing of this world gets to us, and wrongdoing is a result of wrong thinking. Our eyes see, our mind begins to think, and the result of wrongdoing started with what we saw and what we thought in our minds. Evil behavior begins with evil thoughts. In Philippians 4, in verse number 8, if you want to look there, you just turn back a couple of pages. The Bible says we're to think on these things, whatever's true. That's God's Word. God's Word is absolute truth. Do you know you can't pay too much attention to the things you read in the newspaper or hear on the news on TV or see on Facebook or anything like that? Somebody sent something out the other day, and I just read it, and I thought it sounded good. I shared it. Somebody sent me a response, said, check Snopes out on that. It's false information. And you know, that kind of thing happens all the time. You got to be careful. And this world that we live in has a lot of false information. We need to think on what's true. We need to study the Word of God. It's the only thing that we're going to study that is absolute truth. You need to be honest. Think on what's honest. You might say, well, I don't steal. But change the way you think of that. Are you ever dishonest? Think on what's honest. Think on what's just. We are justified by the grace of God. That means we're declared righteous before God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're to focus our attention on what is just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and what's praiseworthy. Those are the things we're to focus on and not to set our affections on the things of this world that are passing away. Romans 12, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. As a priesthood of believers, we serve the Lord together. We offer Him the spiritual sacrifice of the praise of our lips, of the works of our hands, of the love of our heart. And as priests offer animal sacrifice, we're offering those living sacrifices unto God as a priesthood of believers. And this requires, Colossians 3 said in verse number 5, that to do that we must mortify our members on the earth, which deal with fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection. All this list of things we're to put to death. We're to put them in the grave where they belong. And you know, when things are dead, they stink. They smell. Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. The people said, the Lord said, roll the stone away. They said, Lord, by now he stinketh. And Jesus raised him from the dead. You see, Christ gave life. That don't stink. Death is what stinks. This morning on the way here, I saw something dead in the middle of the road. It was black. So my memory of growing up in the country, immediately that I knew that was a skunk. And so I made sure I straddled that bad boy and did not hit him with my tire. But when my car went over him, I had to go about 200 yards and pull into a post office to a box to mail a bill. And I mean, after I went over him for just, wasn't 5 seconds and the smell hit. Boy, whoever had run over that guy had caused his glands to spray. And he was smelling up the whole area. And my car smelled and it was a terrible stink. And it took about 2 miles down the road before it finally faded away. And I didn't hit the thing. If I'd hit it with my tire, I'd still been smelling it when I got here, I guess. Because that sure stinks an awful lot. And can you imagine that sin and uncleanness and fornication and all these things in the nostrils of our God stinks like death, worse than that skunk stinks? And it should stink to us if we put it where it belongs. We should think of recognizing that it should be dead to us. That we now have been given life from God, and those things of the past should be dead to us. Our ego and our pride and our lack of submission to God. A disciple is to deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow the Lord. We make our lives too complex. We fill them with so many things that we don't have the time to spend focusing on the things that we ought to do. You know, back in the old days when people lived by farming, you could spend a lot of time praying, walking behind a mule and a plow, you know, for hours and hours and hours. Or even riding a tractor after, you know, things got better. If you drive for a living and you go out of town, you know, if you turn the radio off and stop listening to music and Rush Limbaugh, you could spend a lot of time in prayer, you know. Or you can turn it to a spiritual channel and listen to spiritual things. And it changes our focus. It makes a difference. If we're influenced all week in a job where people are taking God's name in vain and vile things are being talked about, And we're being influenced by that. It has an effect on us. It has an effect on how we think and what we focus on. We should put those things in the grave. Sexual sins. The battle with desire and the flesh is common to us all. And we should live our lives dedicated unto the Lord as the new man. Put on the new man and take off the old man. You know, I've gone through life without growing clothes. My wife just bought me this pair of slacks. They're almost brand new. I've worn them one time. I really believe the dryer shrunk them a little bit when you washed them this time, you know. Or maybe the dressing and the turkey we've been eating for 3 days straight may have had some effect on how easily they buttoned and that sort of thing. I'm not sure. But I've outgrown some clothes, you know, that I used to be able to wear a size way smaller than what I wear now. But those things are gone to me. They're old. They're so far back, they're not only too small for me to wear, they're outdated completely, you know. I can look at some of that thing and think, did I wear that one time? My wife pulled out some pictures one day, and I had on a pair of red bell-bottom pants with a white belt. Boy, is that dated, you know. I mean, that was a long time ago. Now, if you got some of that and you wear it, God bless you. I'm not throwing off on you. I'm just saying that we should think about the past life, the sins that we were involved with as dead, and put them in the grave and recognize they stink and put them away from us, and they no longer fit us because we put on the new man, and now we have a whole new wardrobe to wear before the Lord. He focuses on the battle with the eye and the mind and the will. The television puts images in front of us and sounds in front of us that say things that we should not be influenced by. We have to put on blinders today if you go out into public, and especially if you go to Walmart. You know, people dress like I can't believe in Walmart, you know. And I love that commercial that came on back years ago about Dollar General when they first started spreading out with all their different places, and they had a little advertisement came on the radio. Had a young girl, and she had kids, and they were interviewing her. She had kids in the basket, and she was shopping in Dollar General. She said, I love to come to Dollar General because you don't have to dress up like you do when you go to Walmart or somewhere like that. And I thought, where in the world is she from, you know? Walmart. You got to put your blinders on. You got to be careful it doesn't affect your feeling and your thinking. Inordinate affections. Inordinate affections have to do with pathos, which is passion. To have a passion for lust for evil things or bad things. Evil concupiscence. To covet after evil things. The covetousness, which is idolatry. The greed and the love of money and the dissatisfaction with what God has blessed us with and the desire to have more, to the point that we would use people to gain, and using people, we're unconcerned for them. We're just having the love of money. And beware of that if you're in sales, because you can sell a product and give people something good and help them in their life with a good product. But sales can also yield to not quite telling the truth, you know, and kind of, you know, not, you don't have to lie, but you don't have to tell everybody the whole story. You ever heard people say that? I've said that. It's wrong. And I've said it before. You don't have to lie, but you don't have to tell the whole story. And I'm like my daddy. I tell everything I know to absolute strangers, you know. My dad walked around Disney World, and he got tired about half a lap around. He sat down on one of those benches. Hour later, that fellow that sat down on the bench beside him knew everything there was to know about me and my family and everybody else in our whole getup, you know. And I take a little bit like that after my dad. We know what belongs under the judgment of God. We know what God judges in those who are disobedient. And yet we struggle with having affection for some of those same things. Now, number three in my notes here today, I've skipped number two, I guess. Number three, remember our past life died with Christ. Colossians 3 and verse number 7. In the past, we walked in sinful things. Now, we've got a new start. We've got a new beginning. God has given us the grace of salvation and a new life, and we've been declared righteous before God. So we should live like that. We should live in appreciation for God's forgiveness. Live in appreciation of the blessings that God has given us. In the past, we were like those, but we've been washed and sanctified and justified and made whole before God. He gives a second list beginning after verse number 7 of additional things that as Christians we must deal with. anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth, lying. Put off the old man and put on the new. Anger that is deep, smoldering bitterness. Let all this put away. Everybody's got a temper and everybody can get angry, but the important thing is that we don't get violently angry and we don't stay angry and we get angry at the right things, sin and unrighteousness and injustice and all that. Let all these things be put away from us. Anger is a problem for many people. Anger is a problem for some people who wouldn't drink, who wouldn't do immoral things, but they got a problem with anger. They got anger issues, as it's called. And the Bible says the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Man's anger can be unjust very rapidly. We don't control it. Wrath is a sudden outburst. Malice is the vicious behavior bent on harming another person. Blasphemy is slander. Jesus elevated that to the point. He said, don't even call your brother a fool. You'll be in danger of judgment. That's to have blasphemy, slander, to say that to a brother. Blessing and cursing should not come from the same mouth, but it often does. It's a battle that we face because we're human, we have flesh, we struggle to be the spiritual person that we ought to be and that most of us desire to be. And that struggle is helped by what we focus on. If we focus on the wrong things, we're going to do the wrong. If we focus on the right things, we'll be stronger. Filthy communication out of our mouth, abusive speech, lies. The Bible says Satan is the father of lies. In other words, he's the originator of lie, which is sin. Satan began sin as a lie. He deceived Eve, who sinned, who gave to her husband, who sinned, and therefore it passed through to the generations of men. We're to remember that we're to put off the old man and consider ourselves risen with Christ from the dead. We leave the old grave clothes behind and put on the robe of righteousness and live above these things and see those sinful things for what they need to be, put in the grave, put away from us, because by now they're smelling. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, that inner man within you, your heart. Have it be that of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering. One night in the last Monday when John O'Malley was here preaching, he got some of the teenagers up front up here, and he made an older one say, my brother is better than me. I won't tell you who it was. He has two J's in his name, though, but I won't tell you who it was. Say, my sister is better than me. My brother is better than me. You see, what he was teaching all was humbleness of mind, that we humble self because we all have a battle with self. We think about what's good for me and mine, and we don't think about others as much as we should, and we don't think about the Lord and spiritual things as often as we should. We're chosen of God, and we're to act like it, holy and beloved, and we belong to God's family, and we influence other people's thoughts of the family of God by how we live our daily lives. A heart of compassion, kindness. You know, most restaurants nowadays have to have restrooms that say either or, you know. Or don't say anything. They just have a lock so you can go inside and lock the door, but no matter whether you're male or female. In Charlotte, you're supposed to be both, according to their law, that you can go in any restroom in Charlotte. They passed a law about that. My friend, Pastor Triplett, went up to the city council meeting and sang them a song about the farmer. Come on down to the barn, come on out to the farm, You won't see two roosters walking arm in arm. And he sang that song to them. And one day I was riding down the road listening to the radio, and this guy that calls himself John Boy in Charlotte on WBTV said, we had that meeting last night about the LGBT issues, and Pastor Triplett wasn't there to sing his song, you know. It made an effect, but it didn't change the influence of the county council. They voted where a man who's wanting to look like a woman who's in his middle age can go in the bathroom with a little girl that just went in the bathroom, and no parent wants that to happen. So you got to be very careful nowadays about just letting your kids go to the restroom on their own. You got to make sure you know what's going on. But we live in a life that we've put off the old man, we've put on the new man, and we used to go to restrooms and they would say, gentlemen or ladies. And that was the thought that our next generation up from us tried to instill in our minds, to be a gentleman or to be a lady. And that's looked down on today if you have that attitude. To live holy, to live righteously, is looked down upon by the world today. They don't want any religious behavior. They don't want any reminder that we would say to them, you're not living up to what God expects of you. You're being disobedient to God. And they would simply say, who are you to tell me that? Well, I'm nothing more than a humble servant of the Lord is what I am. And we have humbleness of mind, our attitude will make a difference in how we deal with people. We're not looking for a fight. We're not carrying a spiritual, theological gun to shoot every person that we see doing something wrong. We're there to be a help. We're there to set an example. We're there to lead people in the right way. We're to deal with them in our behavior as long-suffering, to have our things under control, our emotions and our desires under control. To live above the fray, forbearing one another, enduring with one another, carrying the burdens for one another. As Christ has forgiven us, let us be quick to forgive others. And above all in the Christian life is love, the evidence of spiritual maturity. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So, boy, we got a long list of things that we need to set our affections on and things that we need to struggle to live in our daily life and a battle with all these things that we need to put in the grave where they belong. They were a part of our past life, but we died with Christ on the cross. We were buried with Christ in baptism. We've been raised from the dead, and now we're to walk in newness of life and put aside those things of the past. Let's stand together, please. God help us to live for Him and serve the Lord in this life. Father, we ask your blessings on this invitation as we sing a song to pause for a moment in thought on spiritual things and ask folks to make spiritual decisions. Some might make a decision right where they are. Some may need counsel and help. We ask you to move upon their heart to help them come and get that help today while they're here. If there's someone who doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, the impending return of our Savior and the shortness of life and the fact that none of us know what's going to take place from day to day, help people to make those decisions they ought to make before they leave this place today. And I ask your blessings on your people who do seek to live for you and serve you and live above the fray and live the new life instead of the old life. But Lord, at the best, we struggle for that. We still have temptations and momentary lapses, and we must immediately confess those things to you and forsake them and get our focus back where it needs to be, on things above, on Christ and the Word of God and on the new life, and ask your help to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.